table.
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know.
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
This is the part where you say, I hope everyone had a wonderful week.
You beat me to it. I'm angry now. I'm done. I'll see you guys
well,
later.
Well, you're slow on the draw.
Fine. Let's get on with the show.
Please do.
Crazy woman.
Just listen to what I say.
All right, fine. We have some new Twitterers.
Twitters.
We have Rationalist Society.
Mm.
Faith Reason Back Rub.
Interesting.
That's an interesting handle. And you can follow us, too, at Secular Yakking. I wasn't going to do it this time.
Yay!
We have something else to announce.
Okay.
We have our first Patreon.
Is it now?
Yeah.
It's our first?
Well, since I reinstated Patreon.
Oh, okay.
I killed Patreon a while back because it got frustrating to keep posting stuff, but I found an easier way to do it.
Ah.
So now I can do it.
Ah, got it.
So we're back on Patreon if you wish to support us. I didn't actually announce it. I just kind of did it.
Yeah.
So, Torsten Peel.
I truly hope you are not butchering this poor person's name.
I probably am.
Because they're a Patreon. You need to be kind.
I went and got the pronunciation from YouTube.
Yeah, but you butcher everybody's name.
That
so
is true. You should feel privileged.
Yes. Totally.
Okay.
Please.
I'm going to move on.
But thank you for the Patreon.
Yes, thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Yes, much kudos.
Nice to get paid for something you like to do.
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
Uh-huh.
Top DNC official wanted to use Bernie Sanders' religious belief against him. This has been all the news this week.
Okay.
Yeah, even though I took a weekend off of Facebook and social media, I still
Only
knew.
You did that because you were being very naughty.
I was being cranky, not naughty.
Yeah, okay. Well, the things coming out of your mouth weren't so cranky. They were just pissed off, nasty.
Well, that's why I took a week off of social media.
Yeah.
Weekend off. Because I was going to get banned otherwise.
Well, you probably should have locked yourself in the house because you also went off on our neighbor, too. So.
Well, that's what started it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we're not going to talk
about
that.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, go.
Within the 2,000 internal emails from the Democratic National Committee released last Friday by WikiLeaks is a May 2016 message from DNC CFO Brad Marshall. In it, he suggested that the party should get someone to ask Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders about his religious beliefs.
Oh, okay.
So, and this is the direct quote from the email.
Mm-hmm.
It might...
Try it again.
Wow, that... It might make no difference.
Oh, did he seriously say
yeah,
it that way?
Yeah, this is a direct quote.
Okay.
It might make no difference, but for Kentucky and West Virginia, can we get someone to ask his belief? Does he believe in a God? He had skated on saying that he has Jewish heritage. I think I read he is an atheist. This could make several points difference with my peeps. My Southern Baptist peeps would draw a big difference between Jew and atheist.
My God, the language alone is irritating. But anyways.
Yeah. So there's a huge issue here.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they would use atheism as a political ploy against someone.
Right.
That pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, if you're an atheist, you're unelectable. This is from,
obviously.
This is from the party of tolerance. This is from the party
of inclusion.
Well,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
No. And technically, for anyone's religion to pull that card, regardless of what the even if it was Muslim, it's still a crap shot.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's a really low blow, really.
It
kind of sounds desperate, actually.
It does. Luckily they never used this ploy.
Oh, they didn't?
No, not that I'm aware of, and I probably would have been aware of it.
Uh-huh.
But the DNC did apologize to Bernie Sanders on Monday, quoting, on behalf of everyone at DNC, we want to offer a deep and sincere apology to Senator Sanders, his supporters, and the entire Democratic Party for inexcusable remarks made over email. I have a problem with this apology.
I kind of did too.
Again, you're saying atheists aren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That is what this apology says, because it doesn't say we're sorry to the atheists for painting them in a bad light at all. They're continuing to paint us in a bad light because, oops, we accidentally referred to Sanders
as these bad people.
As these horrible atheist people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pisses me off.
Well, I also saw it as the apology was just like, oh, crap, I got caught, so I need to apologize.
Yeah, that's a...
There's no sincerity in that.
I'm sorry I got caught.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not sorry.
Exactly.
Well, for once in my life, I agree with someone on Fox News.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Maybe twice. I don't know.
That's stretching.
Yeah. Fox News Channel co-host Greg Gutfeld said something about this that I do agree with.
Okay.
And I have some audio.
Oh, do you?
What they were trying to do was go after Bernie Sanders for being maybe an atheist. As if being an atheist is a really bad thing. Atheists didn't just try to shoot up a wine bar in Germany. Atheists didn't shoot up a gay club in Orlando. An atheist did not drive a truck into a crowd in France. An Islamist did.
Or in San Bernardino.
A religious extremist did it. Atheists don't do that.
And that was Fox News?
That was a guy on Fox News. Now, granted, this guy is more libertarian than your average Fox News host. And he's
obviously
stated a couple times that he's not actually that religious.
I'm kind of, like, floored right now.
Yeah. Well, it gave him a shot at Muslims, too. It allowed him to take that shot.
Right, right. I got that. But just someone on their...
Here's the thing that I love about that quote. He said religious extremist.
Yes, I got that.
I've been pushing that ever since all these attacks happened. I would say we need to call them what they are, religious extremists, not just Islamic extremists.
Right. It's
religious extremists.
Yeah, there's different religions that are pulling this crap, and it's extremists doing it, not everyone in the religion.
Exactly.
But I'm kind of, and this is a regular?
Yeah, he's a regular contributor to Fox.
I find that interesting because obviously I haven't even looked at Fox in a long time.
And it gave them a shot against the DNC.
Uh-huh.
So it allowed them to talk something else bad about the DNC.
Right.
Which is Fox News' bread and butter this week.
Of course it is.
So, yeah. Whether he may not, I don't know.
No, I just, you know, regardless of the whole atheist thing even, I find it very interesting that they have someone on there that is kind of takes those stands.
Yeah.
Even if he says he's not that heavily religious. I mean, I haven't watched Fox News in like forever. I used to check every once in a while just to say, oh, look at those crazies, and then flip it again.
Well, occasionally crazy comes around to sane. Just occasionally.
I wonder, is it a ploy, though, to have that one guy on that kind of can tap into the people that we don't like but we need him to tap in?
He's there to tap into the libertarian, less religious.
Right.
So that's what he's there for, and that's what he just did.
Right, which I find interesting because Fox never played that route, you know?
Well, they did this time. And you know, that's great because he was willing to defend atheism on Fox News, which doesn't happen often. So,
Or ever.
Yeah. Or pretty much on any news.
Yeah, well, that's
Except for like Rachel Maddow. She's the only one, really.
I like her. She's so cool.
Anyway, I'm going to move on to my next good thing.
All right.
And it is actually a good thing.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
With temperatures rising, being homeless pretty much everywhere, the homeless pretty much everywhere are in dire straits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who comes to the rescue in Southeast Texas? Any ideas?
Yes.
Well, it's not a church.
Uh-huh.
It's an atheist group.
I am not surprised one bit.
Yep. Robert McWilliams and the Southeast Texas Atheists Helping the Homeless frequently brings toiletries, food, clothes, and more to the area to help everyone get by.
Yeah, it's smoking hot in South Texas.
And recently, they've been bringing more water, and they're trying to help them cool off. They're bringing shade when they can.
Oh, that's good.
It's awesome.
Yeah. That's actually the first I've heard of anyone helping anyone with all that heat that's been going down.
Because that's nasty.
Yeah.
Anyway, the group talked about it on their Facebook page. And they said, today, as we had lunch with our local tent city, we were told taking the time to hang out with them, eating and having a good time was more important than the actual food. They said a few churches also bring food to them, but they hand it out of their vehicles. Then they quickly make their exit without as much as asking them how their day has been.
Oh, really?
We were told that treating them as humans and not just a charity is the best part of our visit.
I didn't know that that's how they went about doing it.
Well, why would they get out of their wonderfully comfortable air-conditioned vehicle?
I couldn't imagine just basically throw food out the window and run.
That's what it sounds like they're doing.
Yeah.
And when they're not doing that, I imagine there's a sermon attached to it.
Well, that's actually more of what I see.
But it's too hot for a sermon.
You know, here's your burger, here's a pamphlet.
Yeah, but it's too hot to get out of the car.
I don't understand that at all. Which, you know, here's an umbrella, let's stand and talk, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Have some water with me, and we'll just chill for a while. And that's exactly what they're doing, which is really good. Atheist Helping the Homeless has been around for a long time.
Yes, it has.
I think we've probably talked about it once or twice on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But with this heat, it's even more important.
Yeah, the heat is nothing to play around with. It's like I've always said, I think the cold is better than the heat because you can bundle up as much as you want, but you can only take off so much.
Yeah, exactly.
You get down to skin and you're done.
Yeah. Once you get down to that, you start cooking.
Exactly. Like I said, you can only strip down so much.
Yeah, I know. So, if you want to help with them, they have a wonderful Facebook page. I'll put a link on the show notes.
Yes.
In fact, there's a ton of Atheists Helping the Homeless all over the nation.
I was going to say, it would be all over the country.
Yeah, they're all over the country now. They're starting to grow everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So find your local one and give them a hand in this heat.
Yeah, because they could really use it. Yeah, we did a Help the Homeless campaign back a couple of years ago. Yeah. Except ours went to homeless teens.
Yeah, ours was homeless teens. It was backpacks for teens.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we should do it again sometime.
Yes, we should. But yeah, anything, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's just normal circumstances, you should always try and pitch in any way you can.
Absolutely. Anyway, Tom's back.
Yes.
And he has something that is oddly appropriate this week.
Does he?
Yes. So let's get into that.
Okay.
So just a little bit of a note here in regards to Yak from the Past with Tom. Before you get into it, I want to apologize for the sound quality. We had a couple sound issues that I wasn't aware of until after we had finished recording. In fact, I wasn't aware of it till I began putting the show together the next day. So Amy's microphone apparently was not on. And due to the setup that we had, I wasn't aware of it. We could hear it, but the recording did not pick her up. So she's been picked up off of my microphone, which I had to boost up. So there'll be a lot of background noise when she talks. But other than that, I think most of it came out pretty good. I'm a little peaky, but that's just my own stupidity. All right, enjoy Yak from the Past. And Tom's back with us with more Yak from the Past. Amy's back with us again.
Yes, I am.
So maybe we'll make this a regular type thing. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Could never.
Amy's presence makes everything better.
I tend to agree with you in most situations.
Oh, really? Most. We'll have to discuss that.
Yeah, we'll discuss it later.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what have you got first this week, Tom?
All right. First I got my book of the week, of course. And I highly recommend the book The Art of Power by John Meacham. It's a biography of Thomas Jefferson. It's just really, really well done, detailed. Can't recommend it enough.
Okay.
So get Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power by John Meacham. If you're interested in Mr. Jefferson, you will not be disappointed.
Cool. Well, we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
So I hear you have something extra special and oddly
apropos.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, last week I said I was going to talk about atheism and communism, but then the whole WikiLeaks thing happened. So the WikiLeaks leak of the DNC emails revealed last week that the DNC was planning to use accusations of atheism to undermine Bernie Sanders' campaign in states like Kentucky and Tennessee, which I'm sure you guys will be talking about on the regular part of the show.
That is correct.
A little behind the scenes there. We record this beforehand.
No one knew that. Nope.
Secrets revealed.
So that's kind of a dirty trick.
Yeah.
But it's not really an uncommon one in American politics. Mm-hmm. So this week I'm going to talk about the election of 1800. So the election of 1800 saw some serious mudslinging between Federalists and Anti-Federalists. And among the various accusations was one that accused Anti-Federalist Thomas Jefferson of being an atheist.
Well, we see that all the time nowadays anyway.
Right.
People make that claim currently.
Yes, and they did it. I think this was the first presidential election where this happened.
Okay.
So this was the third or I guess fourth if you count Washington's too, but third presidential election.
Okay.
Jefferson's religious views were certainly uncommon for the time, and he was reluctant to speak about his personal religious opinions in public, which kind of added fuel to the fire of the atheism accusations. So during the election, the Gazette of the United States printed an editorial that called for voters to choose, quote, or choose between, quote, God and a religious president, or impiously declare for Jefferson and no God.
Wow, that's pretty hyperbolic. Scathing there.
That is pretty scathing. Yeah. Scathing in any century. And also Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase declared to a federal grand jury that, quote, he would not allow an atheist to give testimony in court. And wow. The court case that was going on, he was referencing Jefferson.
So now we got judges doing it as well. Interesting.
Yeah. Yes. Of course, Jefferson was not an atheist in the sense that we understand the word. In modern usage, atheist means someone who does not believe in God. However, in Jefferson's time, atheist could also mean someone who did not follow an organized religion.
Okay.
So in other words, they didn't consider God when making decisions. They were without God.
So basically, deism was a form of atheism at the time, right?
You could see it that way, yeah.
Okay.
It gets muddied if you want to chase that down the rabbit hole, but sort of, yes.
Okay.
So using that definition, there is kind of a grain of truth to the accusations of atheism. Jefferson did not really follow any particular religion, intended to form his own religious opinions about theological questions. Jefferson's views on the separation of church and state were further evidence, quote-unquote, that he was an atheist, as he believed religion should play no role in government.
Hmm.
This meant that in his decisions, he would not consider what God would want. So this was pretty vexatious to Americans, especially in New England, who believed heavily in providentialism, which is the idea that God's will is evident in human affairs. So ignoring God when making decisions meant not considering God's will.
Hmm.
However, not everyone was quite so hyperbolic about Jefferson. John Meacham, author of Art of Power, my book of the week, notes that Jefferson's opinion on religious freedom and the separation of church and state were attractive to moderates and minority religions like Quakers and Baptists. Of course, Jefferson's famous separation of church and state letter was to a Baptist congregation in Danbury.
Yes.
An evangelical minister, William Scales, wrote to Jefferson before the election saying, quote, many declare you an atheist, but be it so, I much rather a liberal atheist should govern the people than a bigoted saint who knows not God.
Hey, that sounds, again, apropos.
It is, yes.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, in our modern sense of the term, Jefferson was not an atheist. I mentioned that. He clearly believed in some sort of higher power. He just didn't believe that his religious opinions were relevant to the governing process.
Right.
So the message here is that the DNC's plot to supposedly expose, quote-unquote, Bernie Sanders as an atheist might be a dirty trick, but it's quite an old trick in the book.
Yes, I can certainly see that.
It's really interesting how history not only keeps repeating itself, but how they seem to keep just running together so much.
Well, this is especially true in politics. I don't think there's any new tricks in politics.
No.
Until the advent of the internet, they just got easier, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impiety is a pretty common thing to accuse people of, I mean, throughout history.
Right.
As a way to undermine them politically. So, yeah, the DNC, that was kind of that was shady. That's my political shady opinion there.
I totally think it was shady.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
Yeah, but I guess Bernie Sanders is in good company. With Mr. Jefferson.
Yes, so. I was going to say, if he's being compared to Jefferson, good with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that as well. But that's all I've got for you this week. It's fairly short, but
okay, cool.
And it's kind of like Amy said, it's a history repeating itself sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, and you were enlightening as usual, Tom.
Thank you.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
And we're back with the Potter Awards part two.
Mr. Potter has a part two.
Well, if you remember last week, I got into the Republican
spit it out
National Convention. Mm-hmm. But I only got to their platform.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. So just a quick little pro quo thing here. That's not really a pro quo.
No.
The next episode, not the next episode, because we're going to be on vacation, but the one after that, can we get a little more half and half, not all political? Because that would be fun.
So we're going to talk about the Democratic National Committee.
Really?
I'll see what I can do.
Yes.
Maybe if someone else. Maybe if someone else did some writing.
Oh, bite me. No, that's just. See, no, I have other things to do. That's what you're for.
Yeah, exactly. Don't complain about the content if you don't contribute.
I'll complain anyways. It's going to happen.
Fine. All right, anyway, let's go. So as promised last week, I decided to get into the speeches.
Right.
There's still a ton of crap there, too. Uh-huh. This was by far the worst convention I've ever heard of.
Okay.
From attacks on LGBT, open religious proselytization, and plagiarism.
Really?
It also included a non-endorsement and chance of lock her up.
What? What the hell is that?
So let's start with the obviously professional attitude from New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Okay.
Chris Christie began criticizing the Obama administration for failing to hold Clinton accountable for her dismal record, and that's in quotes, as Secretary of State. And here's a quote from him. Tonight, as a former federal prosecutor, I welcome the opportunity to hold Hillary Rodham Clinton accountable for her performance and her character.
Okay.
So, and with that, the crowd erupted into chants of lock her up, lock her up, lock her up.
Wow.
And Christie smiled and nodded and said, give me a few more minutes. We'll get there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Gosh.
So...
I was doing hate, wasn't I, with that last one? Because I was just about to say it again, but now it's just getting stupid.
Yeah. And as if that weren't bad enough, Ben Carson came up with a whole new theory about Hillary and her connections to the dark side.
Okay. That's good.
This is a direct quote from Ben Carson.
Okay.
So are we willing to elect someone as president who has, as their role model, somebody who acknowledges Lucifer? Think about that.
Ah.
So he's referring to Saul Alinsky, author of Rules for Radicals, who mentioned Lucifer in his acknowledgments for his book, and who Hillary studied in college.
Okay.
Now, let's think about that for just a minute. She studied someone in college as part of her education.
Uh-huh.
She actually did a thesis on it, if I remember correctly. I don't remember which thesis. But, and that's pretty much as far as she went with Saul Alinsky.
Okay.
Now, he goes back to, when did she graduate college? Like 40 years ago?
A long time ago.
Right. So something like 40 years ago. Now, he's going all the way back there, finding a book written by someone she wrote a paper about and saying she's in league with Lucifer.
Wow, that is one hell of a stretch.
However, I'm not surprised. This is the same guy who thinks that the pyramids are grain silos.
Does he really?
Yes, he
does. I didn't know that.
Yes, he does.
God.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he was running.
Oh, yeah. I kind of wanted him to go further because he had so much good material.
Wow.
All right. And since you're always telling me I'm too political.
Yes.
Yes. Let's move on to what celebrities had to say.
Oh, okay. Well, sort of. Okay, fine.
Actor, in quotes, Antonio Sabato Jr., who apparently had some sort of soap opera career before. While being an underwear model or something like that, I don't remember.
Okay.
He said, absolutely believes President Obama is
a Muslim. Seriously?
Yeah. First of all, I don't believe the guy is a Christian, Sabato said. I don't believe he follows the God that I love and the Jesus that I love.
Wow.
If you follow his story, if you read his book, if you understand about Obama, I mean, that's not a Christian name, is it?
Talk to his parents. They named him. He didn't name himself.
All right. It goes on.
But either way.
I believe he's on the other side, the Middle East. He's with the bad guys. He's with them. He's not with us. He's not with this country.
Wow.
So this guy was picked, handpicked, to speak at the convention.
That was an interesting choice.
Yeah. Not much better than some of the other choices.
Uh-huh.
But we get into the big guns here.
Okay.
Donald Trump himself.
Oh, God, is he going to talk?
He has to. He accepted the nomination.
I know, but I hate listening to him talk.
Okay, so I'm not going to go into all his crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah, there's too much of that.
Just his horrible, horrible, horrible.
Uh-huh.
Donald Trump doubled down on his insistence that the Johnson Amendment be repealed.
Did he? Sorry. My bad.
So the Johnson, he said, an amendment pushed by Lyndon Johnson many years ago threatens religious institutions with loss of their tax-exempt status if they openly advocate their political views. Their voice has been taken away. I guess I have to explain the Johnson Amendment.
Yes, please.
Okay. All 501c3 organizations are absolutely prohibited from directly or indirectly participating in or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for elective office. Violating that prohibition may result in denial or revocation of taxes exempt status and the imposition of certain excise taxes.
Okay.
So broken down, please. Nice and easy.
Yes, please.
Is that you cannot do politicking from the pulpit.
Right.
So that means preachers can't endorse a candidate nor tell their congregation not to vote for a candidate.
Okay.
Same goes for all 501c3 nonprofits.
Right.
So the one I run, I cannot tell my folks.
Yeah, you can't endorse anyone. You can't lean for anyone.
And every time we get into a political discussion in the meetings, is my first disclaimer.
Yes.
I have to do it every time because I could get in big trouble. However, churches never do it. They never. They always do it.
I was going to say, wait, what?
Yeah. And for one thing, this restriction is actually a law, not an amendment. And as I said, it's not exclusive to religious institutions. So what this does is it really keeps is the foundation of church-state separation.
Right.
Because if we didn't have this, churches would be able to easily tell their congregants, vote for this person or you're going to hell.
This is like, it would be like the Dark Ages were, because remember, the church has always influenced things went.
That's why this Johnson Amendment exists.
Right.
The Johnson Amendment is actually an add-on to a law. It's, uh-huh. It's not an amendment to the Constitution. It's not what it is.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's why it's an amendment. It's an amendment to a existing law.
Right.
If we were to repeal it, it would just usher in this incredibly difficult time in politicking.
I'd say a lot of difficult times if Trump's running.
Well, aside from that, I think this is one of the worst things he advocates for.
Yeah. Well, there's quite a few.
Well, as far as
doing
church-state separation goes.
Yes,
there's a
better
bunch of other horrible things.
There's a lot of serious crap he's trying to pull.
Yes, yes, there is.
That's like a whole nother ball of wax on its own.
Yeah, and I'm not really going to go into all the other crazy. I already said that.
Yeah.
If you want to go into the crazy, there's hours and hours of the RNC. You can go watch the videos. It's not worth it, but go ahead. But there is one saving grace from all this crazy.
Okay.
And that's from a former Potter Award winner.
Oh, okay.
And someone who I never thought I'd agree with either.
Really?
Yeah, Senator Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Yeah. And his non-endorsement, I like calling it that because it's a non-endorsement, of Trump, he said the following. Freedom means religious freedom, whether you're Christian or Jew, Muslim or atheist, gay or straight. The Bill of Rights protects the rights of all of us to live according to our conscience.
Shocking.
Yeah, that's what I said. So he's basically kind of pushing for equal rights for everybody. Sort of,
yeah.
Not exactly, but really close.
Right.
He also said, and so we deserve leaders who stand for principle, who unite us all behind shared values, who cast aside anger for love. He then told people to vote their conscience.
Interesting.
And for this statement, he was booed.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And his wife had to be escorted out of the room.
I remember when the whole thing went down about him being booed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why would we want love and equality? Because, you know.
he probably even lost a major donor over this because he talked about, you know, being equal and love and, you know, voting your conscience.
Again, they have the hate thing down.
Yeah. So here's an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. If someone tells you to vote for a principled leader that can unite the party, and you don't think he's talking about your candidate, there's something wrong with your candidate. That's what I get from that.
Uh-huh.
The people who booed him know what they're doing in voting for Trump is not who they're supposed to be voting for.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing I took away from that.
I don't understand why they hate so much, why they are so against inequality or against equality.
Yeah. I honestly can't figure it out either.
I mean, truly, what is their beef with equality?
I have been trying for a few years to figure out why they are so against it. And I really can't put my finger on it. The only thing I can think of is they are a party of older white men.
I don't know. You look at some of the, crowds and stuff, but yes, that is the majority, but still.
Well, not even if they're the majority. They are the party of that. That's who controls it. That's who controls the message.
Right.
Right. And whoever controls the message in an otherwise uneducated electorate, then you control that party. Right.
Yeah. And
so I'm not saying all Republicans are uneducated, right?
No.
There are some people who actually are relatively well educated in that, but they still have these same issues. And I don't know why. I can understand.
I think it's all the me, me, me.
It could be. I mean, that's what Trump's for.
It's the Potter personality.
Right.
You know, it's all about me, me, me and what I get out of it. I don't care who I step on to get it.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
There's a lot of that,
There's a ton of that in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's none of that in the Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah. There is. Yeah.
But it just seems more prevalent in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they promote a culture that lives on that.
Mm, thrives.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the RNC, and that's why they got a double Potter Award.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah, so. But I think that's all the yakking I got for you this week.
I know it's all I got.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.